Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is of our pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, Light and Life to All He Brings. It's based on the epistle reading from 1 John chapter 1. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church here in Westfield, Massachusetts. We ask for God's blessing upon those who are worshiping with us in person this day, and also those who will be watching this divine service on our YouTube channel. Remembering our baptism, we make our beginning this day as we do each day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 4. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as we hear the words of this morning's Holy Gospel text. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Our hymn of the day is number 467, "Awake My Heart with Gladness."
Thank you.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please be seated. In Old Testament theology, remembering is appropriated. And that means what God had done for his generation of the Exodus was to be received by succeeding generations as having been done for them, that they were to count themselves as having participated in this great redeeming act of God. The word, or the story, of redemption communicated that redemption to every future generation. And in believing that word, a person became a member of the community of the redeemed. In today's epistle reading, Apostle John is writing to believers to encourage them in their faith, to encourage them, to strengthen the fellowship that they have with their God and with their fellow Christians. The Apostle John understood that faithful transmission of the word of life carried the promise that where that word was received and believed, the fellowship of the redeemed was being enlarged. He is also reminding them to live a life of repentance because they have a Savior who has paid for their sins. Not only do the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents, but that the Christian church itself experiences the fullness of joy. So this morning, telling others our good news expands the fellowship of believers and increases our joy. The Apostle John and his fellow believers experienced the revelation of the word of life, which he now was very excited to proclaim to each one of you. This word is from the beginning. And this phrase reminds us of the opening verse of John's Gospel, where it indicates the pre-existence of Christ. It looks back into eternity, not forward in time, as in the opening verse of Genesis chapter 1. Note the verbs used which indicate the human senses: heard, seen, beheld, touched. The first two verbs denote lasting results. The third and fourth verbs describe the historical figure of Jesus. The we in these verbs is the apostles. Seeing denotes the contemplative beholding of a spectator. Touched denotes not only touching, but investigating. The false teachers of John's day were misleading people about Jesus. John assures his readers that he and his fellow apostles were truly in a position to know all about Jesus the Christ. The phrases "we watched" or "observed" and "we touched" distinguish the lasting effects of what was heard and of what was seen from the watching and the touching that occurred only while Jesus was physically present during his earthly ministry and during the 40 days after our Savior's resurrection. The life this word brings is eternal. It makes clear beyond all reasonable doubt that the life to which the Apostle John bears witness was revealed by God in the historical person of Jesus. It begins with appeared and ends with the same verb. This verb occurs frequently in John's Gospel account, and in this letter almost entirely with reference to Christ. In this second verse it is said that the life appeared and was manifested. And then the apostle repeats, "We have lastingly seen." It made such a deep and profound impression on all of them. They saw the life. Now John adds two verbs. We testify and we declare to each one of you. About what? About the light, the eternal light, which was close to the Father from eternity. And once more, the light was manifested. And now he adds, to us, the very eternal light embodied in Jesus Christ appeared to the apostles. The apostles held, saw, beheld, heard, and even handled the very light of the everlasting God. That was made possible only because Jesus became a human being. Jesus is the very source and substance of eternal life. John says again and again, and in fact he says it twice, that he is proclaiming this to his readers. When hearers believe the word of life, such faith builds fellowship between believer and believer, and between the believing community and the Father and the Son. By faith, the Christians are not only united in an association holding the same beliefs and held together by the same confession, but they thereby become members of the body of Christ and enter into intimate relationship with God the Father Himself. Believers rejoice when others hear the word of God and believe it. Jesus sincerely describes the full joy of the Christian. And the Christian does have this joy by faith in Jesus. It is a fact. Unbelievers who deny the gospel do not have this joy. In the Nicene Creed, we speak about the goodly fellowship of the prophets. And here we have it. The joy of all Christians, of all generations, is complete and total. It is by faith. We don't always experience it, and we don't always feel it, but it is most certainly there. Our complete joy makes us exclaim, "Oh, we wish that we were there." The joy comes because the message, the word of life declares, is a totally different view of God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The very being of God is absolute light. This is one of God's most important attributes, like His almighty power and His infinite love, ever reaching out from God, not merely staying within Himself. Christ is called the light of the world, meaning the saving light that rescues us from the darkness. The whole revelation of God in the Word, in particular, all that His Son has revealed of Him, shows Him as the light in the sense of purity and holiness. He is the source of all true knowledge, wisdom, happiness, and holiness. As light is the symbol of purity, goodness, and perfection, so on the other hand, darkness symbolizes ignorance, sinfulness, misery, and corruption. Our view of God apart from faith is that He is dark, foreboding, and forbidding. There is no joy in any of that. There is no desire to share fellowship with that. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. We experience varying degrees of light. We are all anticipating the solar eclipse on Monday. We remember that an eclipse covers the light that comes from an object, or in the case of the moon, reflects light, but it does not eliminate the light. Light, on the other hand, does dispel darkness. The word of light, Jesus Christ, shows us that God is light. As the Old Testament declares, He is, in the words of Exodus 34, verse 6, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Now there is real joy. There is the fellowship that you and I want. The temptation to deny our sin is common to both the non-Christian and the Christian. If we are addicted to sin, if we in any way serve sin and corruption, then our entire life is a lie. The first light is the light which comes to us through Jesus Christ and the Word. He is the Word. He is the light. To walk in the light describes the faith relationship. Light is God's attribute. For us, it is a precious gift. We constantly receive it from Him. Look at Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The second occurrence of light in this verse describes the attribute of God that was mentioned previously. When we walk in this light, we have fellowship, oneness, unity, not only with the Father and the Son, but also with each other. Here we have the communion of saints, as we confess in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And what's more, the blood of Jesus, His Son, constantly cleanses us, forgives, and removes the stain from all sin. Both natures of Christ, human and divine, are found in this verse. Light means total and joint salvation for all Christians. Not just some sins, but all of them are forgiven and are cleansed. We confess our sin and our unrighteousness. We receive and rejoice in God's forgiveness and cleansing. With that, we do long for and we do have fellowship with fellow cleansed and forgiven believers. Walking in the light also corrects our view of ourselves and creates fellowship. Where God is, there is light. Where God is, there is light. Where God is, there is forgiveness or cleansing. We never outgrow our need for confession and absolution. Consider the great mathematician and physician, or physicist rather, Sir Isaac Newton. Consider his great achievements, like the invention of the telescope, his study of gravity, and his famous work, Principia. When he was asked as an old man, Sir Isaac, what do you consider your greatest discovery? Newton humbly replied, I have made two great discoveries in my life. The first is that I am a very great sinner. The second is that I know that Jesus Christ is an even greater Savior. By His resurrection, Jesus Christ has become the whole world's advocate, or defense attorney, if you will, before the Father. The Apostle John assures us that we have a righteous advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ. To live in the light is to live in the same way as God Himself. They cannot have fellowship with God unless they have fellowship with other Christians. As Christians who walk in the light, we may be conscious of sin, yet this does not prevent our fellowship with God, for God Himself removes our sin. In spite of the weaknesses and the imperfections of this earthly life, in spite of the many accusations and temptations on the part of the devil, we have forgiveness of sins. Always, every day, without end, we have forgiveness of sins. That Jesus Christ can be our advocate now means that he who died and was buried was raised and now lives forevermore. Jesus Christ is both the propitiation and the expiation. Propitiation focuses on changing the attitude of the one who has been offended, namely God the Father. Jesus accomplishes that by presenting to him his own completely righteous, totally sinless life. Expiation has to do with taking away the offense, and our righteous advocate covered our sins by paying in full the penalty we deserve to pay. What joy there is in telling the whole world. Dear friends in Christ, you and I have received the most extraordinarily good news, that the Word of life has indeed come into the world to show us that God is light and to be the advocate before the Father for everyone who believes in Him. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Closing hymn is number 463, Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.